right. We are in Daniel chapter 9. Now, for those who study the word quite a bit, and you last week you heard we were going to Daniel chapter 9, you probably said, oh, great, we're going to get to the 70 weeks of Daniel. Wow! And we're not. We're going to do Daniel's prayer today. Next week, we'll get to the 70 weeks of Daniel. And the reason I split these up is because understanding the 70 weeks of Daniel really is what prepares us to look at everything else we see in what theologically is called eschatology, or the study of the end times. And so we'll get to that, a sermon all by itself next week. But I wanted to spend time with Daniel's prayer, because it's a prayer for a nation. And as we come up on the National Day of Prayer, I want us to think about what Daniel prayed. And it is an amazing prayer. Daniel, he tells us, and we'll read it in just a second, he tells us when he had this prayer time and this vision of the 70 weeks. It's in the first year of Darius, and that puts it at 538 BC. Daniel was taken out of Babylonia, taken by Babylon from Jerusalem in 606. Now, if I did the math right, that's 68 years. He's been in captivity 68 years. He came in as a teenager. He spent his adult life there. But God's going to reveal something to him. And Daniel becomes, and remember these dreams he's been seeing, these visions he's been seeing, they're all about these empires that are coming in and they're defeating the whole earth. And he's thinking, what in the world is going to happen to my people? The Israelites that have been in captivity for 68 years, there's very, very few of the original captives that are still there. Everyone else was born in captivity. Oh God, what are you going to do? And so Daniel begins to pray. And we're going to look at that today. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9. And we're going to start out by reading the first two verses, because this is what stirs Daniel's heart. Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of Median descent, who has made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books of the numbers of the years, which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So Daniel is reading. He's reading Jeremiah particularly. Now Jeremiah was a contemporary of Daniel's. Jeremiah began writing in 627 BC, so a little bit before Daniel was born. And he's writing, and he's going to finish his ministry in 581. So he spans from the time that Daniel is born and then taken into captivity until the time that Daniel remains in captivity. And somehow Jeremiah's letter got to Daniel. Somebody brought his letter down to Daniel. And so Daniel is reading it. And Daniel knows that it is inspired by God. We talked a little bit about that last week, how all Scripture is inspired by God. And as he reads along, something comes to his mind. He reads, now remember, Jeremiah is written in one long book. It's not, I mean, when you write a letter to somebody, do you say, chapter 1, verse 1? Dear Ann Boyce, I'm writing you today because I want to see how Don's doing. Verse 2. No, anyway. No, we don't write like that. It's just one long letter. But as Daniel gets to this portion, we call it, we put the numbers in there. In Jeremiah chapter 25, Jeremiah writes this. The whole land will be in desolation and horror. And these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Then it will be, when 70 years are completed, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, declares the Lord. For their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, I will make it an everlasting desolation. So Jeremiah says, they're going to be in captivity for 70 years. In Jeremiah chapter 29, he reaffirms this when he says, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. Daniel's like going, we're going home. We get to go back to Jerusalem in 70 years. Now, how many years has Daniel been there? 68. He's like going, if I can just hold on, in two more years, I get to go back to Jerusalem. But why 70 years? Why did God punish them for 70 years? Well, it's a mathematical formula. God does that. God says, hey, I'm not one of these guys that just says, oh man, I'm going to wipe you out and then send you for forever and ever. He says, no, but you owe me. That's what he's telling the people of Israel. You owe me 70 years. Based on Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus 25 set a Sabbath year for the Jewish people. It said 6 years. You shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its crops. But during the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath rest. A Sabbath rest to the Lord. You shall not sow your field nor prune your vineyard. Every 7 years, the land was to have a rest. God said, you can go, you can pick up whatever, you can pick whatever grows naturally, but don't plant anything. Give your land a rest every 7 years. Well, guess how long it had been since Israel did that? 490 years. How many years did they owe God? They owed God 70 years. See, I did learn something in math when I was a kid, right? Well, 2 Chronicles tells us exactly what happened. 2 Chronicles 36 says, then they burned the house of the Lord. He's talking about Babylon. Then they burned the house of God and broke down the walls of Jerusalem and burned all its fortified buildings with fire and destroyed all its valuable articles. Those who had escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, and they were servants to him and to the sons until the rule of Persia, Darius, right? To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the years of its desolation it kept Sabbath until 70 years were complete. Now, God didn't say how long it was going to be till he came back. I wish I had that math equation. But here's what I know, is God has already set the date of his return. But he told the people, only the Father knows that date. We don't. But I'm telling you, just from watching what is happening in the world around us, I think we can say, it's getting close. And I think we need to be like Daniel. Wow, God, I want to get ready. I want to get my bags packed. Because I'm ready to go back. Folks, I'm ready to go home. I'm saying, okay, God, in the meantime, what do I need to do? Well, one of the things that Daniel was doing was Daniel was a man of prayer, but Daniel didn't want to just pray willy-nilly. You know what he did? He read the Bible first. You see, reading the Bible will focus our prayers. Daniel was reading Jeremiah and he's like going, oh, wow. I get it now. God sent us into captivity because we weren't honoring him. But now 68 years have passed and we're getting ready to go home. But we're not ready. We're not ready. So Daniel prayed. He says, God, how do we get ready? So let's look at what Daniel actually prays, because Daniel wants to be ready when that 70 years is up. So let's look at what Daniel prays in verses 3 through 19. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness to those who love him and keep his commandment. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. However, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to the kings and our princes and our fathers and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame. As it is this day to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel's, those who are nearby and those who are far away in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of their unfaithful deeds which you have committed, which they have committed against you. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to your kings and princes and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belongs compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him, nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings which he set before us through his servants the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out on us, along with the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God. For we have sinned against him. Thus we have confirmed his words which he has spoken against us and against our rulers who ruled us, to bring us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come on us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept this calamity in store and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all his deeds which he has done. But we have not obeyed his voice. Now, O Lord our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself. As it is this day, we have sinned. We have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For behold, because of our sins and the iniquities of our father, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications for your sake, O Lord. Let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on the account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. And all God's people said, amen. Because that is Daniel's prayer. As Daniel prays, I want you to look at just a couple things. First of all, that Daniel made a plan to pray. You see, it's great. God tells us to pray without ceasing. God tells us to pray about everything. But one of the things that we seldom do is we don't make a plan to pray. Well, you know, I'll pray when I get a chance. Daniel prayed. He had a plan. Remember back in Daniel chapter 6 when we talked about Daniel in the lion's den? What got Daniel in trouble? They knew when he was going to pray. You see, Daniel chapter 6 verse 10 tells us that three times a day Daniel went up on his rooftop, threw open the doors, and he prayed to God. Morning, night, and noon. He had a plan. Daniel chapter 6 verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew the document had been signed, he entered his house. Now on the roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. He had a habit of prayer. If you come to the Discovering Spiritual Maturity class, you'll realize that one of the four habits that we talk about is prayer. It wasn't haphazard. He found a specific place and a specific time to pray. It's what God calls us to. And then he gave his full attention, gave God his full attention. He said, I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. He gave his attention to God. How many of you have seen the movie The War Room? Right? The little lady that she's selling her house, right? And she says, what's in this closet here? And they open it up and it's just full of prayers. It was her war room. She says, this is where I pray. I go in here, and if you haven't seen it, get the movie. I think we actually have it in our library. Get it and watch it. I mean, it should inspire you to give your full attention to God, because, you know, I got news for you. You really can't pray with the TV on. Right? You really can't pray. You know, I pray a lot in the car, but I always keep my eyes open, right? Because I don't want to get, it's kind of dangerous otherwise. But you know, if I really have something that I need to get a hold of God about, man, I need to get alone with Him. I need to get, matter of fact, Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 6. He says, but when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, I tell you what, I love our corporate prayer time. I love Wednesdays, 3 o'clock. We have some prayer warriors that gather every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, and I love corporate prayer. But man, I'm telling you, if I need to get a hold of God, or God needs to get a hold of me, it's going to be a one-on-one conversation. Because when we actually get doing battle, as I believe Daniel did in this prayer, you need to be ready. Because it's exhausting. It is, God's going to break you. God is going to, notice what Daniel did. He was in prayer and fasting. He didn't want anything to distract him from what was going on. Because he was doing battle for his nation. And as Daniel prayed, the first thing that Daniel does is that Daniel acknowledged who God is. Isn't that the way that Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Why did he say that? Because we need to understand who he is. Because when we understand who he is, then we can incorporate that into our prayers. You see, if we understand that he is an omnipotent God, he's all powerful, we can ask for his power. When we understand that he is all knowing, we can confess our sins one by one because he already knows those. When we realize the compassion of God, we can ask for his mercy. And as Daniel prays, he begins and he acknowledges, alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. You see, he said he's praying what he's already read. He says, wow, I've got to pray for my nation. And he gets into, if you're an underliner, go through this prayer and underline every we and us. Daniel says we're all in the same boat. I'm sitting here with all the other folks that have been captives here in Babylon. We're all in the same boat. And Daniel confessed the corporate sins of Israel. Now, you say, well, is this the first time he's ever done this? No, Daniel prayed 3 times a day for most of his life, probably all that we know of it that he records. Daniel prayed often, and he gets to the point where he says, first of all, I'm sure that Daniel confessed his own sin, right? We're called to do that. If you confess your sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Daniel, and man, if he's confessing 3 times a day, that's a short list. It should be, right? But he looks at his nation of Israel that is in captivity in Babylon, and now under the Medes and Persians, and he confesses their sin. He's praying for his nation. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I imagine all of you have heard this. And I'm gonna tell you first off, this is not a prayer for America. This is a prayer for God's people in America. and it's a prayer for God's people in China, and it's a prayer for God's people in Haiti, and it's a prayer for God's people. This was written for who? It was written for Israel. It is a prayer for Israel today, but it can be a prayer for us. We need to understand who is praying here. And when it says, and my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. In the United States, who is this written to? Us, the church. This is not written to the United States in general, because the majority of the United States, people in the United States, are not my people who are called by my name. We are. So what does this say about the church? What are we supposed to do? We start by cleaning our own house. What does he say? We are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We have to be willing to clean our own house. We have to be willing to humble ourselves. You know, I was with a group the other day, and we were talking about some of the differences in taking communion. And, this group over here, if you're not a member of that specific church, you can't take communion. Or this church over here, you can't take communion unless it's given by the bishop or the elder. This church, and we need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to acknowledge that the church, the big C, we've allowed ourselves to be divided. Because we're over here and we're right. Well, I got news. When you get to heaven, your brothers that you said aren't, they're going to be in the house next door. Because God said there's one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord, and they're our brothers and sisters. We've got to clean our own house first. We stepped back and said, oh, we don't want to get into any political trouble. So we're going to sit back and we're not going to say anything. And where has it gotten us? Look around you. Look what happened during the pandemic. Shut your doors. Don't worship. You can't sing. And we didn't have anybody on our side standing up in Congress saying, no, this is wrong. Man, we need to have people that have the courage to stand up and run for office. People who have the courage to stand up and say, I'm a Christian. I went to the city council the other day to invite them to the National Day of Prayer. It was interesting. Because nobody knew what the National Day of Prayer was. I had to give them the history of the National Day of Prayer and say, we're hosting that. We would love for everybody on the city council to be there, because if you don't think our city needs prayer, you aren't looking around. You see, we have to get ourselves right first. Daniel wasn't praying for the Babylonians. Daniel wasn't praying for the Persians. Daniel was not praying for the other nations that they had conquered. Daniel was praying for the nation of Israel that was in captivity, saying, we have got to repent and we have got to change. And as Daniel prays, he comes to a place where he asks for God's favor and God's compassion. After he gets done praying and repenting of all that they've done, in 17 to 19, he says, and I love this, if you want to pray a prayer for our church, if you want to pray a prayer for God's people, pray this. So now, God, listen to the prayer of your servant and his supplications. For your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which you are called by your name, for we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of our merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, listen and take action. For your sake, oh my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. What a prayer. God, it's nothing that we have done. It's because of your compassion. It's because of your favor. Now I want to look at God's answer. Verses 20 to 23. Now while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God on behalf of the holy mountain of my God, while I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I'd seen in a vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. And he gave me instruction and he talked to me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision." Intercessory prayer is not easy. Daniel is exhausted. I don't know how long he prayed altogether, but I know that you can read his prayer in 3 minutes. He was exhausted in interceding for his nation, for his people. When's the last time you were exhausted from praying? I'll confess to you, it's been a while for me, since I have just sought God in such a way that I went away exhausted. Daniel did that. He interceded for his people, and God answered him. I love that. And who'd he send? He sent Gabriel. Gabriel is God's right-hand messenger, right? Gabriel and Michael, the two archangels. Michael does the battle for the Lord, and Gabriel is the messenger. Remember, he brought all kinds of messages. He brought a message to Zacharias and his wife that they were going to have a boy by the name of John, and he was going to be the baptizer. Gabriel's the one that brought the message to a little Jewish girl by the name of Mary, that you're going to have a son. Gabriel's the one who came down to Joseph. Gabriel's the one that came down and gave the message to the shepherds. He's the messenger. And God said to Daniel, "I'm sending my number one guy. I'm sending my number one guy because I've heard your prayer." And what does he say about prayer warriors? Prayer warriors are held in high esteem by God. You know, some of you, I'm teaching a class right now on the spiritual gifts, and one of the questions I get quite often is, you know, when I was younger, I had the gift of service, or I had the gift of mercy, but I can't anymore. My mama comes to second service. She's 91. For her to walk out to the mailbox and back, she has to take a nap. But she is my prayer warrior, not just mine, but yours. If you know my mama and you share a prayer request with her, I guarantee you she's going to knock down the gates of heaven on your behalf. She is a prayer warrior, and God holds her in high esteem. You see, God loves people who pray. David wrote the book of Psalms. Most of the Psalms are prayers that David prays, and they go all the way from the gamut of, oh God, please save me because I'm a sinner, because I'm a terrible person. But Daniel's prayers, I believe, is what makes God say, he's a man after my own heart. Daniel was a failed man, but God called him a man after his own heart because of Daniel's prayers. Elijah was a man of prayer. You see, he prayed and the rain stopped. And then on Mount Carmel, he prayed and the fire came down. And then he prayed again and the rain started again. And you know what God did for Elijah? He said, I think you're such an awesome man of prayer. I want to take you up to heaven without dying. And he sent a chariot down to bring him home. That's the kind of prayer, the prayer warrior I want to be. You see, God shows up when we pray. Cornelius prayed and got Peter to come from a whole other city to come visit him and share with him Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen again. And then Peter prayed and the Holy Spirit came to the Gentiles. One time the church prayed while Peter was in prison, and what happened? There was a breakout. When's the last time we prayed for God to give us a jailbreak? Paul and Silas were praying in the midnight. They had been beaten. They were in stocks. And they began to pray and sing. And God, what did God do? He opened up the prison doors. But he didn't open the prison doors for them to escape. He opened the prison doors so the Philippian jailer could come inside and find Jesus. Find Jesus. Man, if there's ever a time we need to pray for people to find Jesus, it's right now. There, I believe there's a stirring that's happening. Just get on and Google revival at colleges, and you'll see that revival is breaking out at colleges all around the United States. God is moving. I believe God's moving right here. I hope you're here for our day of prayer, because I believe that God is going to use that as a springboard. God loves when we pray. He holds us in high esteem. Daniel prayed and God answered. They did go back. Read the books of Ezra. God takes a priest and he sends him back to rebuild the temple. And when that wasn't good enough, God stirs Nehemiah and he sends him back to rebuild the walls. And we'll talk a little bit about that next week when we get to what the 70 weeks of Daniel is about. God wants to answer our prayers. But we need to be the prayer warriors for not just our church, but for our nation, for all of the church around us. Amen. Well, we're going to come to the time of communion. I want you to think about the prayers that Jesus prayed around communion. It says he prayed and he broke the bread. But that wasn't the only prayer that he prayed. As he took his disciples on his way to Gethsemane, he prays in John 17, the high priestly prayer. He prays this prayer over his 11. Oh God, may they be known for their love, because I love them and you love them. May they love each other and love the world. And then Jesus goes on to the garden and leaves his disciples and calls the three to pray with him, and then goes off a little distance and he prays. What is that prayer? Not my will, but thine be done. Praise to the Father that his will be done. And I believe that all the statements he made on the cross were prayers. What was the first one? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as he prayed those seven statements from the cross, he finished it with an amen. It is finished. That was Jesus' amen on the cross. I did it for you. As we celebrate communion together, first of all, we need to acknowledge who he is. And then we need to confess our sin. And then we need to ask for God's favor and compassion. Communion's in the center, the back two corners, the front two corners. The cups are stacked with the wafer at the bottom, the juice at the top. There's gluten-free options in the middle of each tray. As you take your communion today, I'm going to ask that you guys give folks a little extra time during communion. Just take it back to your seat and pray. Take some time. God, and go through those three things. I know who you are. I acknowledge that you're the one who sent your son to die for me. And I haven't been acting like a son or a daughter. I'm confessing my sin. And God, bring favor and compassion, not just on me, but everywhere I go. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you today that you loved me enough to die on the cross. You sent your son to die on that cross for me. And God, I just ask that you would help me to be the prayer warrior that Daniel was. Help me to be the one who is interceding for my world that's around me. And Lord, help me to share with those who don't know you so that they can join me at the cross. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.